And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, this September 28th, 2024. We welcome you folks out there. We'll bring them in on the line. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer to start off this morning. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. We pray, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we are to go. We thank you for this opportunity to be here, and we thank you for being our God and that we are your people. Father, we thank you that you have a land and people, and we're thankful that we know who that is. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We thank you for the wisdom and the knowledge that you give us. We do continue to ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We ask for more of it. We ask for more of your Holy Spirit. And we ask that you just guide us and direct us and give us wisdom for the future. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. And it looks like we've got Paul jumped in here this morning. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Well, there's a lot of things are going on this today, this week, this month. One of the things that I wanted to start off with was just praying for those that are down in Nashville, Georgia, Florida. Man, this hurricane, just flash floods. I was watching the headlines early this morning, and houses being washed away, vehicles being washed away, roads. Have not heard a death toll count. But we did get it out on the prayer chain, and I had several people that called in that we were able to pray with. So definitely want to be keeping those people in your prayers. Encourage people to pray when we see these things that are happening. It did get a report from one man said that the storm was headed directly towards him. And it made an S curve and went around him. So praise God for that. That was nothing short of a miracle for him and his family. And he was very, very grateful for that. And we've seen that happen. The power of prayer is real. It's encouraging when you see it. And sometimes you don't see the answers right away. And I tell people that often. They say, we prayed for this, and this is what happened, And I just got to remind people that God's ways are greater than our ways. And, he sees a lot bigger, wholer picture than we do a lot of the time. And that's where faith comes in. But, enough said about that. Tim, have you been following any of that? What's going on down there at all?
Well, yeah, it's a bad one. I mean, I do have a daughter down there too right now. And, they've had winds and plus 155 miles an hour, and they got floods all over the place. And like you said, trees and buildings and they're talking about, they upgraded it to a 4, if I understood that right. They're expecting a lot of damage well beyond Florida. I mean, I guess the Yucatan Peninsula and Cuba and, Cayman Islands down there and some of that, they've really got hit hard. And then it moved on in, and they're talking about it going on north up there, like you said, Georgia, Tennessee, those areas in there that they're going to get pretty hammered. So, and there's a lot of flash flood risk. And rainfall, obviously, and the winds. I mean, 155 mile an hour wind in anybody's book, that's pretty big winds. So, wow. And we're certainly thinking of them, and our prayers are with them. We know that God he's got a plan for it all. I don't understand it sometimes, but then that's just my humanity. But we know he does.
Amen to that. I saw a headline this morning. They were saying 49 dead, attributing so far to the hurricane, and then now the whatever they downgraded to tropical depression. And but Tim, yeah, like you said, it is nailing places that they were not expecting. The original course was straight up 100 miles offshore, but straight up parallel with Florida, and then across the panhandle and straight up, almost headed to Nashville. And that's where the warnings went out. But things don't always go that way. And so it, you know, it kind of made an eastern turn up just landfall just east of Tallahassee. And then, Georgia, all of Georgia was without power. I've got family there, talked to them, and trees down. My sister lives there not far from the coast, and they had trees down on the house and cars, and all her children had the same thing, and they live in three different areas out there. And then just all through the Carolinas, I know there was a headline this morning, there's a big dam up in Tennessee that they're expecting to give way today. Because of all the rain that has just pounded the area, and Jason. Again, you've had some pretty interesting music. You had that intro music this morning talking about these cities falling before God. And when I was listening to it, I couldn't help but think that's what we're seeing. You know, Atlanta had record flooding. And they were having to rescue people out of cars in Atlanta that the people were just in shock. And so, pretty amazing times for storms hitting America. And the hurricane for one, but that's not the only storm. It sure seems like maybe that's what God's doing is saying, hey, here this is in the physical, but this is just a taste. This is just a beginning of what's coming. If again, like your song said, you know, if the people don't repent, and return to Him.
Well, and that's what you look at Atlanta, and I look at some of these cities, and we know that God's in control of it, and I know that area and Asheville too is, you know, they're some of the wickedest cities that, you know, in the country too. I'm not saying that there's not good people there. But you look at this, and I just have to wonder if this is the rod of His indignation coming down on a wicked city also.
Well, I think this whole thing of climate change, it would be better said the wrath of God, you know, but yeah. They want you to think it's climate change and our gas cars are causing all this crap. I think God's just a little bit ticked off about this whole thing with all the strangers that are in here just consuming our goods and everything. It's just the word of God is coming true is what it is. It's repent or perish.
I agree, Paul. I think we're at a time there where those things have just coincidentally, are there coincidences, but where those things have just gone up together. We've seen as our country has continued to turn more and more away from God and more toward, humanism and self fulfillment and, you know, the pleasing of the flesh. We have seen the instances of, and God's people are protected from it. You know, I just read an article on the chemical war. They're talking about this fentanyl business and everything, and it's killing 70,000 Americans each year, you know, approximately. And there's more than 100,000 Americans died last year of overdoses or, you know, synthetic opioids that are being smuggled in. And they were talking about they need to ramp up enforcement against every step of the manufacturing and traffic of fentanyl. And I was just sitting there thinking to myself, and I was like, that's not a cry out. So we've had the war on drugs. We've had this, it goes clear back to Bush days or whatever. We're going to have a war on drugs and and everything that they've done has made it worse. So obviously, government intervention and government enforcement and all those things mean absolutely nothing when you consider it. What we need is a turning back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His ideals and His principles. If they can't sell you this stuff, there's no reason to make it, you know. And that's what we need. And it's as plain and as simple as you can get. You've tried everything else. Are we ready to try God's way yet? So.
Good point, Tim. And one of the things that I wanted to point out while we were talking about the hurricane, too, is this Hurricane Helene. I looked up the meaning to it, and it means shining light, light or torch. So I think that goes along with exactly what we were saying. Wrath of his indignation, for sure.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, too. There was another Hurricane Helene in late September in 1958. That was before I was born. They don't, it's pretty rare when they reuse names. Yeah, the more you look into this, it's like, again, you said, Tim, not really a coincidence. It seems pretty coincidental, but it's really not a coincidence. It's just, the way things are. But, yeah, the more you look into it, there's more to it than just, the naming of storms and, you know, there were, we read about storms all through the Bible. You know, Noah was saved. There was a great flood and a storm. And the Apostle Paul, was shipwrecked. And, you know, it's usually hurricanes that cause shipwrecks if you're out on a ship in the ocean and stuff. And so God used those, like was said before. And I shared with my sister talking to her yesterday when they, you know, they've got no power. They've got limbs down on the house, limbs down everywhere. She said the neighbors were out walking around trying to help each other and reminded her of Romans 8:28 that for the believer, for those that are his, he does work all things for good. And it's the South got hit hard, and they're going to have a long road. I don't know if you saw pictures. I will share some tomorrow morning at church, but. You know, whole neighborhoods with just boats all up and down the road there in Florida, and neighborhoods wiped out there on the coastal inlets and stuff. Just houses gone. So yeah, and that's just a blink from God. I like how you put that, Tim. It's not or Paul, whoever it was. It's not climate change. How about the wrath of God? An unrepenting nation, unrepenting people.
Derek says, he says Babylon is the one shipping it in. And he said to go along with the drug issue, he says we need godly leadership. Some interesting scriptures regarding the upcoming election, besides the fact that we are not to have a foreigner rule over us. Moses gave three qualifications for elected leadership: wise, understanding, and known. Deuteronomy 1:13, take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. Good information, Derek. Appreciate that. That's, you know, exactly.
Yep, timely.
What about women in authority?
I don't know, Paul. Why don't you tell us about that?
It's not to be. It's everywhere.
Plain and simple.
No, it is. I mean, look how long we've been going down the tube. You know, they're in the military. They're in everything. They're running for office. And the church world, they don't even know. You know, they just think it's part of the deal. They don't even know what's wrong. Well, people don't know what sin is. It's that simple.
It is that simple.
You know, it's really peculiar. Everybody knows they're a sinner, but they don't know what sin is. Isn't that something? You can go to your 90 years old in the church, and they don't know what sin is. But they know they're a sinner.
I think it's a little sometimes when I see Paul is they know everybody else is a sinner, but they're not sure about them. They're different. but I agree with what you're saying. It's kind of like
The Bible says they're doing everything, but they're doing what's right in their own eyes. They're God unto themselves. They're not they're not serving the God of heaven and. With the wrath that's going on, he's going to get their attention if they keep it up.
Well, Galatians 6 talks about that quite a bit. You know, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And, you know, that applies to people individually, and it also applies to a nation. I saw an ad this morning, or I had a couple days ago, I posted a news article up on the Newswire. And you can read the whole thing by going to sfawbn.com. But it starts out, it says, FBI whistleblower warns America, pray, stock up on food, water, and ammunition. Longtime FBI staff operations specialist Marcus Allen spoke with Congress on Wednesday, nearly coming to tears as he issued a warning to his countrymen about the dangers they face from the current political establishment. "This is a warning to the American people," he began. "I say I personally have no confidence that the FBI will rein in its own conduct. I have been persecuted along with countless other whistleblowers. It is my opinion that the Bureau used fear to control the workforce. It has been seemingly effective tactics. I personally believe there are no current effective checks and balances against their conducting lawless actions with the type of correction in a legitimate time frame." And it goes on and on. It's a really good article. I encourage people to read it. But how many times do you see, you know, somebody from the FBI up there standing before a crowd telling people to beware of the government? They're lawless. It's got to be a moving of the Holy Spirit. It's got to be people waking up. And that's what I see that's coming out of a lot of these things, is people are waking up. So praise God for that.
Yeah. Yeah. That article kind of, you know, that, you know, these people that are in those levels of authority or dictatorship, that they'll sink to any level to, in order to remain in power, was one of the quotes that was made. And I think we've seen that, you know, it's just they're continuing to get there all the time. And there's just been so much, a recent poll at Rasmussen Reports was talking about the fact that they'd done a poll on the likelihood of civil war in America, and it's at the highest point right now it's ever been in the history of our country, pretty close. I mean, basically, it's just, it continues to rise and to go up, and they're like, well, this is getting scary, you know, and it's like, and I would say that poll's just the tip of the iceberg. And, you know, it's not necessarily a Harris versus Trump thing. That's just a galvanizing effect of it, you know. That is, it's much deeper than that. So, I had somebody stop in the other day, and they were talking to me, and they go, well, yeah, but what can we do? What's the silver bullet? And I said, there's just, you know,
repentance.
Just the one silver bullet. Yeah. And I said, it's repent or perish. I mean, if we don't do it God's way, if we don't, we're going to have to turn it over to Jesus. I mean, it's like God is God. There's a reason he's coming back that next time with the rod of iron, and there's a reason he said if I didn't cut the time short, there wouldn't be anything left. You know, I mean, you're looking around, those of you with eyes to see and ears to hear and a mind that reasons in God's way, you know, as far as 1 Corinthians 2:14, where the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you have that discernment, you can look around you and realize that it's so broken, only the Father can fix it. You know, I mean, it's like, and that shouldn't be depressing to us. He said he would fix it, you know, and he will, but it's like, fear not. I mean, he's going to fix it.
Well, I mean, you think about it. Maybe I mean, there's a reason that we're called sheep. And, you know, and we're called sheep because sometimes we're not that bright. And because we're not that bright sometimes, that's why he made it simple. And that's what it is repent or perish. I mean, sometimes we overcomplicate this whole thing.
Yeah. We're so worried about the mechanics of it that it's like, no.
It's cause
it's
and effect.
It's not really mechanical.
You know, if we do this, he is going to do what he says. He is going to keep his word.
Amen. And I don't know how many, you know, it's not like he's not a, God doesn't run a democracy. It's like, okay, let's all vote for who wants God to fix it. You know, that's not the way he works. So he is an awesome God with the power of one. I mean, he says there is no other than me. And, when you look at it that way, it's by his will and by his decree when those things are done. It doesn't matter who votes what or anything else. That's the way it's going to be. And if you don't like it, you can perish. You're free to do that. So, I mean, that's the way that works.
Earlier this week, I talked to, for quite some time, a pastor, Reverend, I guess he goes by Reverend, who was 95 years old and from down in Arizona, and talked to him quite some time, and you know, he was just disheartened and basically he was, you know, struggling and says that he's just, he's losing hope. And he's like, you know what? He's like, has God just turned his back on us? And I said, no. I said, it's, you know, I said, we're seeing these things. He talked about, you know, these people that are coming over the border and this and that. And he was just, I mean, he's sick and he's just, you know, didn't seem like that there's anything that we can do and that, you know, God just forsake his people. And, you know, he went on to, you know, he had the biggest problem with the Federal Reserve. And he said that, you know, the Federal Reserve caused all this. And I said, no, I said, sin caused it. And, you know, he said, well, we're, you know, and it basically had just pretty much given up hope. And it was sad to see, you know, for somebody that had, you know, been faithful for that long. You know, I mean, after talking to him for a while, he called me back the next day and said, well, I do definitely do feel better after talking to you. And, you know, he just needed to get it out. But, I mean, that's what he was feeling. He was feeling like God completely turned his back on us and there is no hope. And there is no hope besides us going to our Heavenly Father and repenting, turning from our wicked ways as a nation. That's why we're constantly trying to tell people, you know, and tell people what that is. But, you know, like Paul said earlier, and he said so many times is, you know, how do you have people, they know that they're sinners, how do you have somebody repent if they don't even know what sin is?
God, it changes everything, don't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Well, and this week, I mean, with, you know, what's happening with the UN in New York this week. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that came out of their General Assembly. They gathered, and over the 22nd and 23rd, man, there were so many things that had come out of I can't remember what they call it, but it was the document that details global government under the control of the unelected United Nations. It was the global transformation document, I think is what they called it. But out of this document, the things that came out of it were, one of the things was, you know, basically a global vaccination program that they were talking about. And there's been an uproar in, in the movement talking about that. One thing after another that they were talking about that came out of these, I think it was either a 60-page document or a 90-page document. But basically, when I heard it and started going through this and seeing what they were doing, it was just like, wow, there is a lot here. And the first thing that I thought of when I started going through this and reading it was when Bush stood up there and announced his New World Order. And I remember that very clearly. That was, you know, when he was talking about a New World Order, and it was, you know, it was shocking. People were, you know, talking about it, and it was the talk of the town. So I looked up that speech, and it was interesting because that speech, from what I can gather, it was right at 33 years before this General Assembly of the United Nations took place. It was 1,261 days, and I'm not sure, I was looking at it again, and from the time, if you adjust for a day starting at noon or 1 o'clock, I think it was exactly 1,260 days, which it's interesting that Daniel talks about 1,260 days. And to me, this is just, I mean, we had a New World Order that came in with Bush 33 years ago. And I think that 33 to me means a time of completion. It's a time period. And the reason that I believe that is just because of, you know, there's 33, Jesus was here for 33 years. Also, then you think about the 33s, there's, you know, the 33rd degree Masons and so on and so forth. I think that that's a significant number. But when you're looking at this, what this New World Order and what has come out of that, this is just, to me, is the next step of the enemy that's, you know, basically combating God. So I don't know. I don't know if anybody else got to look at anything with the United Nations did this last week or not?
I've been doing a little bit of looking over it, and they call that the Pact of the Future or something along those lines is what they call it. That's their Pact for the Future. And it's like it doesn't look very futuristic. The WHO tried to grab a bunch of power here a while back ago, and they got slapped down pretty hard. That was during COVID. This is basically an offshoot of that, and they have come in and done this. And what's really just damning about the whole thing is the fact that they used what they call a process I've never even really heard of. It's silent voting, which basically says you're kind of back to that power of no thing again there, where they basically kicked this out, read it, put it up for not really a vote, but the only way that you could, it was automatically adopted unless you negated it. You had to say no. So it's like, that's just a strange way to do that. And it's evil. I mean, it's wrong. So,
well, and there's a lot of stuff that I'm learning too about this whole thing. And it was interesting. I didn't even know that there was a church center of the United Nations. And it's 777 United Nations Plaza, New York, New York. I mean, then I started looking at some of that stuff thanks to a friend of mine that started sending me stuff. And, boy, I mean, if you look into this and talk about demonic, it is just like, wow.
Yeah. Well, and it's back to just like the Chinese thing. They're going to incorporate all the biometric data and use AI, and if you talk about anything they don't like, your driver's license can be revoked, your checking account can be shut down, none of your cards will work, you won't be able to buy or sell or trade. I mean, it's basically, you get to read and thread, and I haven't got into it very deep yet, but it looks to me a lot like the Mark of the Beast. I mean, it's just one of those things. And one of the things about the Mark of the Beast, of course, is the simple fact that you can't buy and trade or sell. And one of the other earmarks is it's global. And, exactly who do these people think they are? You know, so it's, my, they're special. But
one of the things that I did notice, out of that, you know, there's been a lot of this stuff on this AI stuff and how they're going to regulate it and how they're going to use it. And I listened to some information this week on some podcasts and stuff talking about basically how they plan on doing or how they are using the censorship, I should say. But it was a lot more complex than I thought. You know, I've seen these things where people get into Facebook jail and they get their information pulled off, or they remove a post and say, and I thought that that's what the censorship was going to be, was that they were going to take it and they would pull it off of the internet or social media, so to speak. But it's a lot more complex than that, because it can go through there when, now that they've implemented this AI into it, they can actually go in and they can change the posts before it, and they can change the posts after it, they can change the ads, they can go in there and they can change the data and basically give it 180-degree spin. And you know, if you're for something, they can change it and make it against something. I mean, it's not just censorship, it's, you know, and to me, that's, that's going back to what the Bible warns us about, is the, you know, what Jesus warned us about is the scribes and the Pharisees. Basically, that's what they did, is they changed what was written. And I think that, I think that that's what this is coming down to. But, you know, it's a war against information. It's a war against truth. And, I mean, the ability to be able to do that on the scale, basically, they say with what they're doing and what they have, what they're capable of doing, is basically the complete internet. So I thought that was interesting. Like Derek said, Isaiah 40:17, all the nations before him are nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. And he says, God laughs at them. And that's right. And we got to remember that. I appreciate that. Let them be caught in their plots. They are planning. They are plotting. They are targeting us. The war is real. And he sits in the heavens and laughs. So praise God for that.
Amen. You know, Pastor taught on that the enemy
has to tell us what they either are doing or have done or what they want to do. You go back and read George Orwell's 1984, and just what you described, Jason, is described there. They had a bureau that would go back and change the historical records, that would go back. That was a big part of that, that they would go back and scrub. And it was, you know, again, from, several, you know, what, 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, that describing this. But they had a department that would do that. That was a big part of Orwell's 1984. You know, the constant surveillance, you had to continue to do, you had to get up, you had to go to work, you couldn't speak against the government, you couldn't, you did what they said to do, or they didn't feed you. They'd just come in and wipe you out, and you would disappear. And that's what happened is, you know, people that spoke against, it would be the equivalent today of the government going in and disappearing the revolution, right? And all aspects of that. And it's changing. They think it's changing history, but it's changing the reporting of it. It's like a revisionist history on steroids. And it's their plan. It was their plan in that book. He wrote about it then, and they're implementing it or trying to with this AI. Absolutely.
Well, it's one of the oldest tactics of the war is divide and conquer, and I think this whole Democrat-Republican thing is part of that. You know, if you can get you talking about that, you're not looking at the real cause of that. Who's pulling this off? But they want to keep you scared. Everything they do is scared. Now, I see deer hunting coming up. Now, it's all over the... I look at YouTube, now them deer got man care and wasting disease, and we shouldn't go hunting and everything like that. I mean, they're always making you afraid of something, and that's how they operate. I mean, whom you fear is whom you serve, and they can cut their BS right out, and God's in control. He sets in the heavens and laughs, and we got to remember that, because they are, you know, they can shut your car off at will. They can shut your John Deere off. It's all programmed. John Deere dealerships, they diagnose the tractor's problem right from their office, and then they go out and fix it. I mean, this stuff is all in place. It's just so bizarre beyond your imagination is how far advanced they are. We're the stupid ones. You talk about sheep. I had a flock of sheep. Now, I'll tell you, here's what you know about sheep. You can't get the first one to go, and you can't get the last one to stop. They're a bunch of herd mentality. And they like food.
We got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Yeah, this is Warren calling. I was calling in. I got a prayer request for my niece, Katrina. She's got breast cancer to pray for her. But I was going to call in, too. You talk about the 33 years with, with Papa Bush. Now, hers is coming up there. You know what her motto is, right, that... a new way forward. What she's saying is, I want a new world order. You know, I believe that Kamala Harris is the woman that's riding the beast in the Book of Revelation. You know, because our system is a beastly system, and if she gets elected, she's going to rule that system. And I don't know if you've been watching commercials on TV, but we got some. Relating to the hurricane that went through, saying that this weather stuff is caused by us using fossil fuel. And so Noah must have used fossil fuel, and so did Paul when he got shipwrecked. And that's my thoughts on things. But that's what Harris is saying, a new world order instead of a new way forward. It's just a, you know, cunning way to say it.
Good point, Warren. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Absolutely.
Well, God bless you, and I'm praying for my niece. She is a Christian woman.
And her name is Katrina?
Right.
Katrina? Is that what her name was,
right,
Warren? Yes.
Right.
Okay. All right. We got it. Appreciate it, Warren.
Okay. God bless you.
God bless. Thank you. And it's as simple as that, 970-224-4203, 970-224-4203. 03. And that's one of the things that would happen this week on when Netanyahu was addressing the UN. He had two signs, and it's Really good video, and I'll try to get it posted up here on the Newswire, but it's about 8 minutes and 45 seconds into the program. He holds up a sign, and he shows what the blessing is, and then it shows an arrow going through some of these countries, and he's talking about, you know, he's through this line, we're going to have fiber optics, we're going to have utilities, we're going to have oil lines, and then he shows the curses. And he basically, when he shows up the curses, he goes through Syria, I think it was Syria, Iran, and those three countries that are right there, up there in that corner. And he has them blacked out and says that these are the curses. And when I saw that, basically it was like they're getting ready for an extermination over there. And that's what, if you read between the lines on what a lot of this stuff is doing, that's what they want, is complete genocide over there. And they want to go in there and they want to wipe these countries completely out. And I believe that that's their intent. They had them blacked out on the picture and called them the curses. And it was, in one hand, he was showing the blessings. This is from his perspective, you know, from Israel's perspective. And the other hand, he was showing the curses. And it was telling. And I couldn't, as I watched it, I could not help but think, well, that's what they fully intend to do over there.
And here, eventually.
Yeah, exactly. And I did not, it was, you know, several years ago, I had never really looked into Syria a whole lot. And somebody said, you know, you really need to look into Syria and the president of Syria and stuff like that, and did a lot of research on it. And wow, I mean, it was nothing like what I thought it was. And, you know, I mean, it's nothing like what we're being told on the, you know, TV or the YouTube or whatever. No, I haven't. Like Warren said, have you been watching the commercials? No, I haven't seen any commercials. That's one thing that, you know, don't get to see a whole lot of because don't have TV. You know, occasionally you'll see one or something on a video that you watch on online, but the commercials are very limited.
Well, all the news articles around here are basically, you get very little local news whatsoever, and it's all about promoting this New World Order, basically, is what it amounts to. You know, they're always jabbing you somewhere and stuff like that, but the local news is just about shut right off.
Yes. Yeah, I've noticed that, and even, you know, I subscribe to several different news wires and stuff, so to speak, but you know, I'll give information locally from some place that's, you know, 1,000 miles away, and it's crazy, yeah, how I can get more news about what's happening locally from some other news organizations because nothing's covering it around here.
Yeah, you can get more local news sometimes off Facebook or something than you can get off the
Well, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I mean, we see that pop up, you know, like, what's going on over here? Well, so, you know, it's it's really tough to find out what's going on in your own backyard sometimes. So they just don't want to talk about it. It's like, you should be looking over here.
Yeah. You go back to the United Nations, you know, God says make no alliance with another nation. When you take that war as a racket, boy, he said we shouldn't even be off the shore over 300 miles off our shores. But we were in, you know, we got dragged into the New World Order in World War I primarily, right after the Federal Reserve. I mean, the guy is right about the Federal Reserve and everything like that. But that's just still a symptom of spiritual death is what it amounts to. Even the IRS, if these preachers been worth a hoot, they would say not to withhold a man's wages overnight. Now, that would take care of all of that. So, but God sent a looting spirit. You can't just bring the preachers because the people like it. They like it. That's the way they want it.
Well, and I've been, you know, the scripture that just keeps coming back over and over to me, and I think it's more timely than ever, is Obadiah 17 and 18. But on Mount Zion there will be those who escape, and it will be holy. And the house of Jacob will possess their property, and the house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau will be like stubble, and they will set them on fire and consume them, so that there will be no survivor in the house of Esau. For the Lord has spoken. And I believe that ties in with the prophetic poem, When the Saxon Begins to Hate. I believe that fire is hatred. And I think that it's very possible whatever happens in the future, but people could wake up. It could very possible a working of the Holy Spirit and people wake up and realize that, hey, we are Jacob Israel, and this is what the enemies have been doing. And they see those enemies. It's like putting the glasses on that came out of that church in that movie, They Live. And all of a sudden that they realize, hey, we've got enemies here. And if they bleed, we can kill them.
Yeah, I was looking at that UN Pact for the Future thing, and some of the comments were extremely enlightened, let's put it that way. They were a lot of people saying, you know, especially the American comments, because there still is a remnant here, and it's a strong remnant. And I think in some instances, they may not even know they're the remnant, but it's just there, you know. It's like, I don't think so. So, and I think that, you know, God's on the march. And I was looking up that 33-year number that you were talking about there a little earlier, Jason. And one of the things is that it's promise of redemption is what it is, and the maturity of a divine calling and the manifestation of Christ's power are some of the ways that that number translates into. And it's interesting that those things, and that would be the number 33 in almost any situation like that. I mean, that's what it would come out to. So it's interesting that is a that's there. It's in your face if you care to look. That's a sign for their destruction, not for ours, when we fear not.
Exactly.
Those of us who serve God, we're not afraid of you guys. I mean, that's all there is to it. You can do whatever.
Yeah. Well, and I think it is important for us to remember. I mean, it's in his and maybe I didn't say that right, but it was, you know, God is in control of this, and he is the one that's pulling the strings, and Babylon is falling, and that's what and I believe that it is continuing to fall, and it's crumbling. I mean, you look at them. We talk about them. We talk about they. We talk about what they're doing. But basically, I think that a lot of their plots are failing them, and they're striving to. They're grasping at straws. Basically, they're realizing that hey, they gotta censor this stuff. They gotta stop the information that's getting out. But I mean, I believe that, you know, their plots failed during COVID. I really believe that they intended a lot more people to die out of that whole thing. I think that there was a lot. Even the aftermath and from the vaccinations and stuff that they used as weapons of warfare. I think that there was supposed to be a lot more people that died out of that by now, and that. You know, they couldn't get it done. And I think that sometimes they just sit back and they scratch their heads and they're like, you know, why aren't they dying?
Amen. Yeah, I think that too, constantly.
you take Gideon. How many people did he go up against there? It was a bunch. I mean, a big bunch that he was in. And what did he do? He weeded it down to 300 men, and he took a little jar with a candle in and a horn, and they blew it. And they turned on themselves, and that's just what we have to expect. This is going to be happen again. He's not done with us. You know, I told you, he brought us over the Red Sea, the Jordan River, through the Caucasus Mountains, and here up, and here we are. He's not done with us, and that's a real joy to me. You know, they've got all these plans, but God sits in the heavens and laughs. Now, that's encouragement. But you just read out of Obadiah, they're done. They're done. I mean, you know, the only bond in Washington, D.C. is money. They don't even like each other. Don't give me that. You know, I seen a movie once, Oklahoma Crude, years ago, 50 years ago. And this guy is sitting with a shotgun to this guy's head, pissing on his boots. He says, that's what us guys, rich guys do all the time. You know, I'll never forget it. But, you know, the only bond is money. And that's the same with your neighbors. They think money fixes everything. You know, well, if you got enough money, well, it's inflated. We ain't going to even buy nothing because it ain't there. But we just got to remember it's the gospel, it's the good news, and this is what has to go out of this ministry as we speak. You know, we're discussing a lot of things and how they're doing it and everything, but their days are numbered.
Amen. Well, and flush that money deal out a little. That was one of the things that the fellow I was talking to was like the silver bullet. He goes, you know, he's talking about, it always comes back to that real money thing and the lie that is money and how that would solve things. But the Bible doesn't say that the money's the issue. The Bible says the love of money is the issue. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be seashells, beads, gold coins, paper money, you know, pick something, feathers. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's the love of that is the diluting and destructive atmosphere with that. And, you know, that's not a silver bullet, because that's something God's got to take out of people. It doesn't really matter what that is. We have to do it God's way, or there will be no success. There will be no recourse. And we count some of those things. I was kind of chuckling about it the other day, and God thinks so much of gold. And I'm not against gold and silver. I mean, I don't mean to come across that way. I think it has value and it's worth certain things. But God says that, you know, when you've lost your saltiness, you're only good to be cast into the street and walked on. And he did the same thing with gold. He paved the streets in the New Jerusalem with gold. So I think a lot of times we, you know, that's that silver bullet thing, and it's like you're missing the bigger picture. The bigger picture is without God, it's all just dross, you know. So we have to look at it from that point of view, you know. So.
Well, I think it's very possible that lead and copper are a lot more of a precious metal than gold or silver, that's for sure.
Well, none of that's going to save us. You know, just take Jason's garden. You did everything right, and it just ain't working. Now, I've been doing this for 40 years, growing plants out of diseases, and I've done some, you know, I didn't do it. God did it. He just showed me nutrition. But I'm telling you, our problem, that ain't going to save us either, because this is a spiritual issue. And you got to deal with a spiritual issue of people, why you do anything, you know, because most people want to make money and survive, and, you know, and their world's falling apart, particularly in the apple business. They're just glutted. And but I'm just telling you, this is a spiritual issue primarily, and these all are symptoms. Our gold, silver, I've got some silver in here. What do? Turn in for paper? No, it ain't going to save me when I ain't going to buy food with it, because I don't know if it's going to be available. I put no faith in that silver that I have. At the time, I thought it was my answer, but it's not. And this is a spiritual issue. You know, when you take them children people out of Egypt with a backpack and get fed, you know, I think that's a bit of a miracle, wouldn't you?
Well, kind of like what you were Absolutely. Saying there when Gideon went up against the adversaries and he had those pots and those torches. You know, we're talking about simple weapons warfare. And I think that, you know, Scripture teaches us pretty clear that, you know, weapons of warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And then I was thinking about, you know, so we don't think that maybe humility might have something to do with it, maybe prayer having something to do with it, maybe turning away from wicked ways. And, you know, I really think that that's, you know, that is key for the nation, and that's what we need to be telling people. You know, we need to continue to tell people, you know, what sin is, you know, that the homosexuality is a sin, that, you know, this transgender garbage is a sin, that interracial marriage is a sin. That, you know, and, you know, where does it stop? I mean, you know, we try to people. I mean, there's people that will fight you hand, tooth, and nail and tell you that it's, you know, that it's okay to eat the unclean foods. That's, you know, it's fine to eat the swine. I mean, you know, where does it stop?
But like was said, it's the people don't know. I like Paul. I wrote it down, what you said. People don't know what sin is. You know, they know they're a sinner, but they don't know what sin is. And or like you said, Tim, they know that I'm a sinner. they may not want to admit it as much as themselves, but they'll sure point it out to me or to you or something like that. But you know, and you said earlier, Jason, about people waking up. They are. You know, I had two members of the congregation, of our extended congregation. You know, we're all over, and we've got men all over, but two of them mentioned to me that they've been listening to Dan Bongino, and it's not a plug for him, but, you know, he's a little rough around the edges, but he puts some truth out. And see, he, you know, it's not the, you listen to the radio, you try to hear any kind of gospel preaching or anything on the radio, and it's Jason and I heard it the other day going to get paper for the newsletter. Yes, and we just love Jesus, and if you'll do this, Jesus will do blah, blah, blah. And it's this effeminate, makes you want to puke voice, makes you want to kick him in the teeth. But that's by design. That's what Christianity is represented out there, because that's what the enemy has done. They've neutered it. And so your real men don't want that. But truth is still going out. Both of these men that mentioned this about the truth that they hear on Dan Bongino had listened. Jason, I asked them, you played that that interview with Tucker Carlson and John Rich a few weeks ago when we were traveling. You played that for me, and we've shared it. And both of them had heard that and agreed, hey, there's truth that is going out, and that is encouraging. I saw a headline this morning. Women's sports teams are forfeiting games against other teams because the other teams have trans players. And you're seeing that more and more. The women's college teams are doing that. The women's high school teams are doing that, whether it's volleyball or rugby or whatever. And whether they should be doing that or not is a whole different matter. But you've got whole teams that are saying, no, we're not going to participate in this. And I think that in itself is an awakening, that because the people know they have that law in their heart, and that's tugging on them and saying this is wrong, and then they're not just saying it's wrong and doing it anyway, but they're following through with that and saying I'm not going to have anything to do with that, and they're doing it as a group. So I thought that was encouraging, but truth is going out and people are waking up, and that's a good thing.
Well, that's the whole part of this chaos that we're dealing with. You got people, they don't really have that enlightening, but say, this is wrong. We're not doing it. I ain't going to play against a man on a women's team, you know, and stuff like that. Now, that's really dang simple. And you can just about bet they ain't too biblically grounded. But that's my point is, the law is written in our heart. When you see it, you respond to it. Now, these people have just said, I've had enough. And that's a wonderful thing, even though they don't really enlighten. You know, sometimes, you know, we know who we are and everything like that. So it makes all the difference in the world. But that's not who we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, because they don't got a clue who they are.
Well, yeah, God's way is a multi-step process, and there's only two directions. There's up and down. I mean, it's a Jacob's ladder. It's a stairway, to whatever you want to, you know, liken it to. But it doesn't really matter where you're standing at on that, whether you're at the ground level or midway up. But when faith is exercised, the step is taken in one direction or the other. You know, if your faith is in God, it's a step up. You know, so each one is, you gain victory. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So when it's flexed and exercised, you're on the stairmaster.
Well, look at the heat that Pastor Peter took. I remember going to LaPorte. Well, the first time and only time I went to, and I walked in that church and I couldn't stop laughing for two days. I said, this little church is causing all that grief. it's just amazing the wrath that he took from a little converted fire barn. His whole family was martyred. That's just the way it was. They were just martyred, you know, but, that's how little it takes. And what we're talking about, these people that won't play against that, that root is in our heart. When those Saxon begins to hate, gets his head out of his earlobe and starts standing on the truth. That's just a simple truth, but it's profound, and it's going to destroy a whole ball league is what it can do.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, we are just about out of time. You know, I want to just, you know, read this real quick. And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And I think that that's, you know, what we need to focus on. That's what we've been talking about, and talking about things for people to be aware. You know, there's a things are happening. It's exciting times, and I just want to close out with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And we pray, Father, that you be with this message and wherever it may go. We pray, Father, that you use us in a mighty and powerful way. We recognize that it's not about us. It's about you, and it's about your kingdom. And we thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, amen. Thank you, men.
Amen.
Turn around, go back down, back the way you came. Can't you see that flash of fire?